Back now at 8:10 with an incredible story about a mother who revived her newborn son after being told that he would not make it. Well, the family is here this morning for an exclusive interview. But first today, national correspondent Amy Robach has their remarkable story. Amy, good morning.
And good morning to you. Doctors told Kate and David Ogg of Sydney, Australia, their baby boy was dead. But what happened was next was nothing short of a medical miracle.
The birth of a baby, one of life's happiest moments. But for Kate and David Ogg, their elation came to a screeching halt after one of their twins, baby Jamie, born premature 27 weeks, was pronounced clinically dead. Doctors told her,
I said, Jamie didn't make it. We've lost him.
The nurse handed the baby's limp body to his parents to say goodbye. But instead, the mother talked to her newborn when she could have been mourning him. This footage taken by her midwife. Jamie lay on his mother skin to skin for 2 hours. She cuddled him and stroked him and said, your twin sister Emily is fine.
He started gasping more and more regularly. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on?
She says the doctors told her not to get her hopes up. It's just a reflex. He can't be alive.
Then a short time later, he opened his eyes.
Kate put breast milk on her finger, held it at Jamie's lips, and he started sucking. Her doctors were in shock.
He just kept shaking his head and moving it around. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
A medical miracle. Baby Jamie came back to life before their eyes.
Luckily, I've got a very smart, very strong wife who instinctively did what she did. If she hadn't have done that, I believe that Jamie probably wouldn't be here. And it's inspiring for a lot of people.
Magic in a mother's touch. Even doctors say there's something to it.
Isn't it interesting that the body, the mother's warmth, the effort that she'd had up to that period of time was passing through to the child? That's pretty amazing.
Jamie and his twin sister Emily are now 5 months old and happily living at their home in Sydney, Australia.
We were lucky. Yeah. We feel so fortunate.
So lucky.
We're like the luckiest people in the world.
There's magic in a mother's touch. Friends, there's no magic about it. The Bible teaches us that there is supernatural power in a godly mother's touch. And on this Mother's Day, that is the theme that I want to lift up before us today. Now, it's true that God is the creator of life. And it's true that dads are important because they're sort of the first cause, if you know what I mean. Sort of the spark that lights the fire. But mothers are uniquely ordained by God to be life bearers. And I've come to experience in my own life the supernatural healing touch of a godly mother. I've learned something about women in my 50 years. You're complicated. And even more so, dang, you're confusing. Somebody say amen. Amen. Boy, I heard that one. I've rejoiced in reading the blog of Dr. Christina Hibbert. She is a licensed psychologist with a practice in Flagstaff, Arizona, and she focuses on postpartum depression. And she talks from her own heart. She's also a great believer. She talks from her own heart about the struggles of self-image in women. She talks about the unfortunate teaching, the unfortunate sin that's even taken place in the church for too long, that women brought all the sin and evil into the world. Guess what, friends? Though the serpent may have beguiled Eve, it took two to cause the fall of humanity. For too long, the church has taught that women are not worthy, as worthy of men to be used by God, that women are second-class citizens, that women have no place in the hand of God in the ministry of the church, and that's just wrong. Heck, look at the way the Bible exalts Saint Mary, to the highest place. And poor old St. Joseph just barely gets an honorable mention. St. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptizer. Well, his daddy gets a little more mention, except he didn't trust God and he lost his voice. Imagine a preacher without a voice. How about Lois and Eunice, the mother, the grandmother and mother of St. Timothy, the young preacher and student of St. Paul. For too long, we've lived under this idea that women are second-class citizens. But on the other end of the spectrum, there is this incredibly full, stout, challenging, exalting passage about the unique influence of women. Found in Proverbs chapter 31. Hope you brought your Bibles this morning because I want to share a part of this reading. 2/3 of an entire chapter in the Bible praising God for the unique influence of women, their industry and their intelligence, their capacity to invest and influence, their capacity to make their husbands look good when they might not deserve to look good. This passage from Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10a, and then skipping down to verse 28. King Lemuel, and we think that might be a pseudonym for King Solomon, but we're just not sure. King Lemuel, a wife of noble character, who can find? Long list of noble qualities, but I want to focus in on the last part. Her children arise and call her blessed. Now, guys, get this. Her husband also praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears, reveres, honors the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her hands bring her praise at the city gates. I like reading Christina Hibbert, who is a licensed psychologist herself with a thriving practice, who went to church one Mother's Day and heard the preacher preaching from this passage and exalting his near saint of a mother, only to go home and cry for 8 hours. She said women have this unique capacity to feel like failures. And she wrote a very interesting blog called Mommy Fails. And all the ways that she felt she was a failure to her own family. Now, isn't that a strange perspective? On the one hand, not feeling good enough to be used by God. And on the other hand, having such a wonderful description, simply not feeling like you can live up to it. She wrote, and I agree, that on Mother's Day, women need to hear at least 3 things. I hope you'll let me share a little bit about those 3 things. Because I believe the greatest gift that you bring us is not what you do for us, but which is great. Thanks. I like the comedian Milton Berle. Remember in the old days? He has this great joke. He says that he does not believe in the theory of evolution. Because if the theory of evolution were true, women would have more than 2 hands. I mean, we thank you for all you do for us, but the point today is all you are to us as the life bearer. I have died many times in my 50 years. No, breath has not left my body, but I've had the breath knocked out of me by certain experiences of life. And in every moment, I have found the supernatural touch of God, the life-bearing hope of God, through my mom and other significant women in my life. Now, I appreciate dads, you know, you fall off a bike, get back on, walk it off, have a stiff upper lip, don't be a pansy. I mean, I understand all that, and you know, at a certain time, that's good. But God has granted to our mothers a supernatural touch to bring order out of our chaos and hope out of our despair. I think of the countless times I've been crying in bed and my mom slip in next to me, my godly mom, to pray with me, to always remind me it'll be better tomorrow, because the Bible says joy comes in the morning. And you know what? Because my mama believed it, I believed it too. Dr. Hibbert says, ladies, you need to hear three things. And the first thing is this: you're not alone. For all of you who are experts at condemning yourselves, of feeling like you're failures, of not being able to juggle all the demands, and gosh, the demands are huge. In my mama's day, my dad traveled in his younger years a week at a time. Later, when he became an international businessman, he was gone weeks at a time overseas. Mother said those were the best times in their relationship, but that's another story. That's another story. I don't know how you even begin to manage it all. But the way Proverbs 31 works is this: there's this great crescendo beginning in verse 10 and leading up to Proverbs 31:31, and the crescendo ends this way: charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who reveres the Lord is to be praised. A woman who sees the greatest gift she can give to her child, to her student, to her neighbor, is life bearing hope. And that makes you, of the female part of society, specially blessed by God. Now, it's easy to feel like you're a failure. And I like the way Dr. Hibbert writes about her own child-rearing skills. She talks about allowing all three of her children, you know, as they grew up, all three of them to roll off the bed and land face down on the hardwood floor. She said, you'd think after the first time I would have learned better. She talks about that horrible experience of the first time taking the little baby fingernail clippers and getting a little too happy about cutting your baby's fingernails and going right up, the baby crying and bleeding. And she talks about her children getting older and getting in trouble. I remember that. My two younger brothers were in trouble all the time. And getting flustered and trying to correct her children, calling them by the wrong name. And then her children laughing in her face. Any of you moms experienced that with your kids? We used to do that to my mom. She talks about those painful times, but says, women need to know, you're not alone. You're not the first one to have challenges with child rearing, and you won't be the last. Secondly, she says, you are better than you think you are. Here's a struggle I've learned. Child rearing is not a short-term proposition. It is a long-term proposition. Bible says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Well, that takes a long time to see. You got to live through the terrible twos, right? And then you've got childhood rebellion, right? And then, Lord have mercy, teenage years. And then you worry when they go off to college or try to get out on their own, the decisions that they are making and the mates that they will choose and the jobs that they will take up and how they will begin to form and rear their own families. It is an ongoing struggle, right? But it is the long view, Dr. Hibbert says, that we need to take. But it's the last of the three that I really want to stress for a moment this morning. She says, not only are you not alone, and not only are you better than you think you are, but you are enough, just like you are. Why? Because you are not a human doing. You are a human being. And the greatest gift you can give to your children, the greatest gift you can give to any child, is being a life bearer for him or her. Helping that person see hope. Helping that person see possibility. Helping that person want to go in life. And I think that's why Proverbs 31 ends this way. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who reveres the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that she has done, and let her works bring praise at the city gates. Now, for all of us who are children, well, I guess that's all of us, right? And for all of us who still have the ability to communicate with our moms, I want us to take the Word of God seriously today. Did you see on my Facebook post? Call your mom. She is the only person who knows what your heart sounds like from the inside. She's the only one. Call your mom and thank her for the way she has been a life bearer for you. Not just that you were given physical life, but how she has built hope of eternal life in you. Now, I love the thought that mother is not a noun, mother is a verb. Because mothering is more than simply the biological process we call labor, right? Mothering's a whole lot more. We do live in a day where some children are estranged from their biological mothers. But I bet there is a significant woman who has mothered you, right? I've been mothered by a lot. Some of us just need a whole lot more. I've been mothered by a lot of women who have invested in me. Teachers as a little boy, professors a little bit older, church members along the way who have mothered into me. Life-bearing hope. None of us has a perfect mother. Mine's pretty close. None of us has a perfect mother. And you will not be a perfect mother. But on this day, can you live into what the Bible says? And speak to your mother and praise her for the ways she has been a life bearer in you spiritually? I think that's what moms most want to hear. I don't think they're interested in being thanked for all the lunches they made. Has anybody calculated how many lunches you make in a 13-year kindergarten to 12th grade? Just calculate that. Lunches you've made. Loads of laundry you've done. Dirty socks you've picked up. I don't think that's what moms want to be thanked for. Is it, moms? Is that, you know, you'd like a little help. I think moms want to be recognized for the life-bearing gifts that they have brought to us. So I want you to think for a moment. I want you to think about your mom or the one who mothered you most to help you be the person you are today. Do you see her in your mind? Is she in your heart right now? What would you say to her? What will you say to her? And what I like about Proverbs chapter 31 is this. This is not just a task for kids. What does the Bible say specifically? And you husbands too. How has your wife been a life bearer for you? I celebrate this great day, but I'm a little offended. I've just come back from a wonderful birthday trip to Spain, and I was reminded of this terribly offensive Spanish proverb. I can hardly speak it. It offends me so badly. Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. I just can't stand it. I am offended. But it's true. And it speaks to the heart of the unique life-bearing gifts that God has enabled our mothers in the broadest term possible. Our mothers to invest in us. It's a Jewish proverb. I like it on the one hand. I question its theology on the other. But the Jewish proverb says, God could not be everywhere, so he created mothers. Well, yeah, you know, God is everywhere. He's omnipotent and omniscient, and he's all-knowing the whole bit. But for most of us, our first understanding of God with hands and feet comes from the one who heard our heartbeat first. So here's my thesis today. For all the things that you feel like you failed at, all the things you simply can't get done, if you can invest life-enabling hope in one child, you are a wild success in the heart of God. If you can build hope into the heart of one child, if your kiss can make a boo-boo better in the life of one child, if you can speak hope into your 50-year-old preacher son in the midst of his most discouraging moment, then you are a wild success in the heart of God. And to my mother, who will be at our third service this morning, and to all of you who have lovingly mothered me in our 7 years together, I honor you and thank God for you. Hey, you gonna call your mom today? Maybe your mom's gone on to heaven. Right now, in this time of prayer, you can ask the Holy Spirit of God to be the messenger and speak a word of thanks supernaturally to the heart of your mom. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you today for our mothers, women that you have enabled with a supernatural touch to bring life and healing and hope, to build into us where we feel weak, to support us where we question, to give us a reason to have life. God, we thank you for our moms and for those who have mothered us. Give us the grace today to pick up the phone, to make a visit, and to say, Mom, thank you for the way that you brought life to me. I remember that day. I remember that situation. I remember that challenging moment. And Mom, you spoke life to me. For those of us whose mothers have outrun us to the Father's house, Lord God, Holy Spirit, would you be the messenger today and speak supernaturally from our hearts to our mother's heart and let her know of our abiding gratitude for her life-bearing influence on us. Lord, we speak now from our heart. Thank you for Mother's Day, great God, for a woman who reveres the Lord, who bows the knee before Him, who sees herself as a supernatural life bearer, is to be praised. Amen.